and go to Colossians. Thank you so much, Andrew and Madison. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 6 through 10 together. My text verse is verse 6. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll read verse 6, and then you read verse 7 with me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God and truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, please help me this morning to speak the truth. And then, Father, please help us as your people to receive the truth. And then, Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. You're such a wonderful God. Thank you for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. As we read that verse there, verse number 6, we've been looking at Colossians on Sunday morning. And last week we took a little break from it. We looked at baptism and the different baptisms in the Bible, and we understand, to help us understand baptism in Christ. And so we're back here in Colossians, and look, when you read verse 6, it says, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. The name of the sermon this morning is A Fruitful Life as a Christian, a fruitful life. And God says here that you cannot separate being saved and bearing fruit. Okay, that's a heavy statement. If you're saved and a child of God, there's an expectation in the Bible for, now that you're his child, there's an expectation to bring forth fruit somehow, some way. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, it says the good seed brought forth in some 100-fold, in some 60-fold, Matthew 13:23, and in some 30-fold. But it never says in some none-fold. So everybody doesn't bring forth the same amount of fruit, but I'll say it again, you can't separate being saved, trusting Jesus as your Savior, and being a fruitful Christian or bearing fruit. When you were saved, God says in verse 6, it says, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, since the day ye heard of it. That means when you were saved, since the first day, something started to manifest itself. From day one, whenever it was that you were saved, something started to change. Something was different from day one. If you were the possession of Satan, and now you're the possession of Christ, something changed. Right? If you were in darkness, and now you're in light, that you're saved, something changed. John 3 says, you wouldn't come to Christ first because your deeds were evil. Okay? So if you say you've come to Jesus Christ and your deeds are still evil, something's off. Something's off, right? It's not, okay, this morning, it's not reasonable for people to ask to be treated as born-again Christians, listen, when there's no evidence that they're a born-again Christian. This morning, we are not in a position as humans to deal with people based on what they claim. Only God can do that, right? Because only God sees in the heart. I can't see inside anybody. We can only deal with people based on what is outwardly manifest, right? No one is asking this morning a new convert or a new Christian to memorize the book of Colossians or understand the dispensational divisions in the Bible, but rather, listen, just all we're asking is just start showing up at church at a place you didn't used to show up at. How easy is that? Amen? All it's nice to see is when you want to be with people you didn't used to like to be with. Amen? You may not understand. Some of the songs may be new to you. Obviously, you know, how we do things in church. If you've been to different churches, we may do things a little different here. But still, once you get saved, it's fun to watch a new Christian enjoy church, right? Whereas before, I don't go to church and all that. There's a change that took place, right? There was a change. Some change took place. 1 John 3:7 says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You don't want to know one sign that you're saved? Is you enjoy church. You may not understand everything in church, but you enjoy church. You enjoy being with other saved people. Amen? That's one sign that we're saved. The faith that people put in Jesus to save them brings forth fruit, God says in verse 6, from the very first day they heard it and believed it. Something started taking place. And everybody, it's different. But something took, a change took place from the day they heard it. This is helpful because sometimes you have to urge those who have a profession of Christianity, but no evidence possessed of Christianity to examine themselves. Doesn't God say, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith? Right? Your word, that's one reason God tells you after you get saved to start obeying Him so that you get encouragement, right? That it encourages us, but it encourages you too, right? It encourages you, wow. Look what I used to do and look what I'm doing now, right? You may not be doing everything God wants you to do yet, but the change, you see a change. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. So, this teaches us people are saved when they place their faith in Christ Jesus. You're not saved when you change. You change when you're saved. There's a difference. You're not saved when you turn over a new leaf or start over anew or start afresh. You're saved when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. God doesn't expect you to bring something to Him to be saved, but asks you to receive what He brings to you, the salvation that He offers through His Son, right? So God expects you to receive it. It is by faith. Look at verse 5. It says, for the which hope is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. And here we are at our text verse, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it. And knew the grace of God in truth. When you got saved, you learned, if you truly got saved, you learned it wasn't by your works, you couldn't earn it, and there was nothing you can do, and you learned of God's grace, something you didn't deserve, something you couldn't earn, you learned of God's grace. Wow, look what God provided for me. Right? I couldn't buy it, couldn't earn it, I had to trust it, but you learned of God's grace. God's grace doesn't save you until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Then salvation is a gift from God only to those who believe. Okay? Only to those who believe. I know I'm phrasing it different ways, but look, on a message like we and I can take you all through. We've done it, Bible studies and soul winning, and I think I've even done one here on a Wednesday night. Good works. I think the Bible study was good works can't save you, but you were saved to do good works. That was the whole Bible study. And I think we teach so much good works can't save you, good works can't save you, of which I agree. I know the Bible teaches that, but we teach it so much, people, after they get saved, they don't do anything. Then they don't do any good works. And I think you took it too far. No, good works can't save you, but you were saved to do good works. We can take you to Ephesians for that. We can take you to other passages. So this thing of works after you're saved, here, the other truth that is in this passage that teaches us everywhere in the world where the gospel is believed, it brings forth fruit. Aren't you glad when they go to South America, you're saved the same way? You're not saved the South American way. When you missionaries go to Africa, you're not saved the African way, you're saved the Bible way. When you go to Russia, you're not, the same gospel is preached, you're saved the same way through the blood of Jesus by placing your faith in Jesus. But everywhere in the world where the gospel is preached, it brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. It bears fruit. There is nothing in Scripture about someone believing the gospel who's saved by the grace of God and not bearing the fruits thereof in their own lives. I'm not teaching this morning that you have to prove you've been saved by your good works. But listen, it's unfair for you to ask anyone that you've been saved if there's no evidence of good works. And I'll tell you how this kind of goes together here in a little bit. From Genesis chapter 1, as a matter of fact, go to Genesis 1. We're only going to look at one place in the Old Testament this morning. It's interesting. From the first chapter in your Bible, you're introduced to this concept of fruit. Fruit, the substance of seed that's planted. From chapter 1. If you didn't know anything about the Bible and you just picked up that wonderful book and you started reading it yourself, the truths that God starts teaching you in chapter 1, look at verse 9. If you have a hard time finding Genesis, don't tell anybody, okay? Okay, here we go, ready? Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 9. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind." Here's the concept. Okay, you ready? When the seed of a tomato brings forth fruit, it's tomatoes. Okay, it's after its kind, right? Apple seeds don't produce corn, and green bean seeds don't produce cucumbers, right? They produce fruit after their own kind. That is science. So if a papaya tree called itself a raspberry bush, it's not. Amen. I think you already know where I'm going, don't you? You already know where I'm going because of our society, don't you? Ready? If a squash vine calls itself a grapevine, it's not. Our country is so far from the Word of God that people who bear scientifically the only provable, verifiable characteristics of a male want you to pretend they're females. They're not. People whose genetics and physical makeup, their bone density, and everything about them is female, but they want you to agree with them that they're male. They're not. I know it's a reprobate and a vile abomination to God, but listen, okay, now that we're all together, right? I know you agree with me on that, okay? Now let's see if you still agree. Ready? Long before the perversion of the transgender movement, there were Christians who lived like the devil and said they were Christians. Long before the transgender movement. People whose every characteristic of their life says, I don't know the Lord. You say, you can't judge that way. Take your Bible real quick and go to Psalm 36. Watch this. Psalm 36. We'll come back here. Psalm 36. Right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 36. Look at verse 1. What a verse. Psalm 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. You can too look at people. Their actions tell you whether they believe in God or not. God teaches you that in the Bible. You can look at you can see the filthy people, what they stand for. I don't care if it's the rapist Bill Clinton or whoever you want. Pick the vile people up in Washington, D.C. They're nasty people. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Hear a Bill Gates talk. There is no fear of God before his. It talks about blocking out the sun. Listen to him talk. Listen how godless they are. The transgression of the wicked says within my heart, ooh, that's a nasty person. There's no fear of God before their eyes. But these same people then want you to pretend they're a child of God because they say so. Remember here watching Bill Clinton hold up his Bible? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Vote for me. That's my Bill Clinton impersonation. It doesn't get any better than that. So, okay. But remember, he was a filthy animal. But boy, if you'll vote for him, he'll
I love the Lord. Oh, the Bible's precious part of my day every day.
Okay, that's the end of my Bill Clinton stuff. Here we go. They say they're Christians. So listen. From the first chapter of your Bible, you could reasonably assume that if someone was born again, listen, by the seed of the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, that there would be some fruit in their life that was kin to Jesus, not kin to Hollywood or a gang or someone who never has read the Bible. Okay. What a thing is can be known by the fruit of it, right? The polls that they take in America report 53% of America says they're Christian. Where? That's not what I'm seeing. Okay. If it's over 50%, can you say that's the majority? It's a light majority, but you can say it's a majority. Where? Where? In what way? By what definition? According to what observable fruit? 53% of America is Christians? I understand in all the different flavors of how are they define Christianity, I understand. Listen, a child of God likes it when these divisions are pointed out. Because we live in a weird day of things calling itself Christian that aren't. When we go out soul winning, we hear, well, you know, I don't want to be a Christian because I know Christians who live terrible lives. We've heard that when we go out soul winning. Listen, I want to say to them, then you don't know Christians if they live terrible lives. You know people who've lived a terrible life who called themselves Christian, but you don't know Christians. Amen. Or when they say when we're out soul winning, well, you know, I knew a Christian one time that did a terrible thing to me. Then you don't know a Christian. You knew someone who claimed to be a Christian with no evidence of being a Christian, but because he said he was a Christian and you believed it, now you have a bad attitude about Christians. If you knew some Christians that were awful people, I'll tell you this morning, then you don't know Christians. You knew someone who claimed something that they didn't possess. There's plenty other verses here this morning. I just want to give you some food for thought on this issue of, once again, fruit in a Christian's life, bearing a fruitful Christian life. In the, you could do the study in the book of Psalms, in Proverbs, look up the word fruit, Jeremiah. I'm going to stay in the New Testament this morning, so go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to just use Matthew to Revelation this morning instead of Old Testament. But we're going to look at fruit in the New Testament. And as you look at John the Baptist's preaching to prepare people's hearts to receive Jesus Christ, John the Baptist's preaching told everybody to repent and come to Jesus. John the Baptist never preached self-help messages. He never preached psychology messages on how you can feel good about yourself or how to overcome depression. I just picture John the Baptist preaching that. That's funny to me. He didn't preach that way. He preached for 3 months, and what he preached was repentance and coming to Christ. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. You know, John the Baptist preaching was, Jesus is coming, get the high places brought down, bring the valleys up, make the crooked paths straight, get your act together and prepare your heart for the Lord. And where you've sinned, name it sin, repent, and get saved. That was John's message. Bring forth fruit fitting or meet, or in Luke 3 it says, worthy of repentance. Jesus is coming. You can't repent unless you call your sin sin. It's not a fault. It's not a mistake. It's not an oversight. It's a sin, right? That's how you repent. You start by calling sin sin. Then, I was wrong. God was right. God is pure. I am impure. This is where I need to change. Bring forth fruits. John the Baptist preaching to the Jews. Bring forth outward manifestation, evidence, fruit that you've repented, that you're preparing for Jesus to come. What a statement. A little different from, I know, what we call churchianity today. Watch verse number 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, you're not getting to heaven on the family plan. Amen? I don't care who your daddy is. Amen? If you get saved, it'll be because you placed your faith in the blood Jesus shed for you on the cross, because you're a hell-deserving, law-breaking sinner. Amen? Everybody's saved the same way, regardless of family, regardless of kin. Here, as long as you're excusing or blaming your sin on someone else, listen, you aren't repenting, you aren't coming to Christ. As long as you're blaming your sin on somebody else, and of course, you know, it's never my fault, it's always got to be somebody else's fault, you can't bear fruit in your life. You can't bear God's fruit. Because all of that victim mentality, it's not my fault, and oh, how I've been treated. No, God doesn't teach that in the Bible. Watch this. You're in Matthew chapter 3. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Ready? Look at verse 15. We're looking at fruit this morning. Colossians started it, and it said, from the day you got saved, God started bearing fruit in your life. Now, if we examine this, look at Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 15. Jesus said, here, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So listen close. Jesus said there are people who are going to lie to you. They are going to claim they speak on God's behalf, and they are not speaking the truth. Jesus said that, right? Said it 2,000 years ago. You're going to have to judge and exercise some discernment, because there are people that look like sheep, but they are wolves that want to kill you. That's religious. That's a hard thing. I'll say it again. It's a hard thing to get across in America because everything that's Christian, it's marketed. This Christian book and this Christian blah, 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 blah. Just put those word, put that one word in front of anything and it sells. Everything that calls itself Christian isn't Christian. Most of it's to get money. Most of it is marketing. And Jesus said, beware of wolves that come to you with a wool blanket on. They have a sheepskin over them, right? Wool over it. Be careful. Look at verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So this morning, you know, well, you're judging people. God told you to judge. You have to judge in the Christian life. You have to judge what's right and what's wrong. That's phony baloney. This is Bible. Amen. You judge when you go to the store, right? You got to judge between a cucumber and a pear, right? Well, I don't judge. Yes, you do. And you want people that can judge, right? You don't want to ask somebody, can you go get these groceries for me? And they can't pick it out because they don't judge. Bunch of screwballs. We live in a kooky society. Well, don't judge me. You can't let life is judging. Every day is judgment. Judge righteous judgment, Jesus said. Look at verse 17. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And verse 20 should be marked in your Bible. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. You can determine a spiritual leader's validation biblically if you'll just look at their life. You're supposed to be interested. I've told you this before. You're supposed to be interested in being as a pastor. What has your 36 years in the ministry stood for? What have you accomplished? Where have you been? What have the churches like that you've left? Did you stir them up and leave them in a mess and split them and leave a mess for the next guy coming? You should be interested in that. What is the fruit of your life? Right? Okay. By their fruits ye shall know them. Listen, this helps us filter through so much of the religious deception of our day. You say, are you sure? There are adulterous, lying thieves who want you to believe that they are Christians who are just struggling a little bit. But God says, stop believing the wolves who are telling you they're sheep. If the fruit of my life was contrary to Christianity, why would I keep kidding myself and saying I'm a Christian when what I need is Jesus? Not to try to convince you that I'm a Christian so you'll quit telling me about Jesus. Doesn't that sound goofy? That's what happens on the street. Okay, if there is nothing but thistles, then I don't think I'm being mean-spirited to say I don't think I'm looking at a fig tree. Amen. Matthew, go to Luke chapter 13. Bearing fruit, I don't believe is optional for a Christian. That's why I said you cannot separate being a saved child of God and bearing fruit. You can't do that. From day one, God started working in your life, from the day you got saved. Now, how God worked in your life is different than how God worked in my life, because God treats us all individually. But God was working in your life when he saved you. When God's grace saved you, he started a work. He's the author and finisher of our faith, right? So isn't it wonderful to know you can't lose your salvation and God's still working? Look at Luke 13. Look at verse 6. Look at how important fruit is to God. Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he, unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, or fertilize it. Verse 9, And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. This morning, I think I could read that's a hard parable. You either bear fruit, or look at John 15, or God makes your life not matter, right? That's a strong parable. You know what I think, we're supposed to do? We're supposed to rejoice in God's grace this morning. To start bearing forth fruit takes gratitude. I got saved at age 20, and what I used to do with my hands, I now get to hold the Word of God. The things I used to say with my mouth, and now I get the privilege of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. What God's grace in my life I rejoice in. Look at what I used to do. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. Nobody is. I know that. I think we all understand that. But we're supposed to rejoice in what we used to do, and we no longer do. And now look what we're doing. Now look at what God has done in my life. Bearing fruit is important to God. As a matter of fact, take that thought. Go from Luke 13 to John 15. Ready? I know God's interested in your Christianity bearing fruit. The Bible tells me so. Amen. All I'm doing is I'm bringing the truth this morning that says, if you're a saved, born-again child of God, you should be examining what fruit has God used to bring forth in your life, or have you allowed God to work enough so he could bear fruit in your life? Amen? Look at John 15. Look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Look down at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Last time, look, 8 times fruit is mentioned in this, from verse 1 to verse 16. Look at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Okay, listen closely. So, if you're the branch, and Jesus is the vine, then what is produced in your life will not be contrary to the root and the vine. It will be in accord with the root and the vine. Yet, there are people who have nothing in their life that resembles Jesus Christ, but they get so offended when you tell them they need Jesus. They say, and you heard me say, you judged me. No, I have to judge. Amen. I told you I'm not God. The only one who knows you're saved is you. Amen. That's witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, right? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Okay, so one job of the Holy Spirit, and I told you, there's evidence of salvation in the Bible that you know and God knows. But when it comes to us outer people, you know, the people that aren't inside you, praise the Lord, we only have your works. We can only see outwardly, right? That's because we're human. We have to judge based on what we see. Christianity used to be that way a lot. Go to Romans chapter 6. Ready? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 20. Ready? We're talking about fruit this morning. Fruit in your life as a child of God that God started to bear when He saved you. Look at verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Watch verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Watch verse 22. But now that you're saved, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Here we go. Follow my thinking. I'm going to use these, verse 21 and verse 22. If you were a lying, stealing, adulterous druggie, and you said, you know, in January of this year, I became a Christian by trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, then why would you still be bragging about your sin and wanting me to be accepting of your sin and wanting our church to change what we believe so you can continue in your sin and call yourself a Christian, when God just plainly said in the Bible, when you get saved, there's things you're supposed to be ashamed of, not justifying. There's things when you get saved, yeah, I used to do that, but look, I call them black spots in my life. When I look at the history of my life before I got saved, there's things I don't want people to know, but I know. There's things I don't brag about. I call them, that's the best I can call them, dark spots. Times of darkness, times I'm ashamed of. And I don't brag, yeah, I used to do this, and I'm ashamed of them. And God says that's how we're all supposed to view our life before we got saved, right? We're not supposed to be justifying it. Well, what's wrong with that? You were lost when you were doing that. That's what's wrong with that. That's what lost people do. They live like animals. They don't have God. You're different. You're a child of God. God lives inside of you. You're different. Amen. You're a child of light. We're supposed to be ashamed of the things we did before we got saved. God says, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're immediately ashamed of the life you used to live. And I don't expect anybody who gets saved to surrender to the mission field or start preaching across America in tent revivals. I know you have to grow in Christ. So, here we go. Listen closely to this. If I said, I don't want to know the day you trusted Jesus, but tell me the day that things were being produced in your life and when it changed from the things that Christians are ashamed of to holiness that honors the Lord. Tell me the day that happened in your life. That's different, isn't it? That's not a mean question. That's a good question. Here's a good question. If I didn't ask you the day you got saved, if I asked you, so when's the day you were ashamed of what you were? That's a good question, because that happens at salvation, right? All of this, I'm just pulling this from the Bible. It's good. This morning, this is a good heart-stirring message. Amen. It helps me. It helps all of us. We're supposed to look at ourselves and look at the fruit. Think about the fruit. This morning, I'm concerned about the 60% of Americans that say they're Christians, but they're practicing sins that the Bible says we're supposed to be ashamed about. I'm genuinely concerned about what America calls Christianity. They say they're Christians when there is no evidence in their life to support it. None. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at the works of the flesh, at the things God says we're supposed to be ashamed of. Okay? Galatians 5 tells us what we're supposed to see as shameful. Amen? Our works of our flesh. Here we go. Ready? Look at verse 19, Galatians. We're I'm trying to work through here a little bit in order. We got just a couple more places to go. I'm watching the time. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All of those sins are immoral sexual sins. They're filthy sins on that side of the spectrum, you could say. Think with me just in a sec for a moment. In the 70s, preachers were saying that the generation before them foresaw the dangers of bringing the TV into every home. It happened after World War II, right? Everybody knew that TV in the home brought nothing but spiritual degradation. Everybody. This is it. I'm talking about in the 70s now. Then after TV was put in the home, then what started getting pushed? Cable. Okay, I remember that. Cable started being pushed. Now the internet in every home, on every phone, is now pushed. And guess what? Our country has turned into an indescribable sewer of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's filth beyond. I think read Genesis 19. I think our society is filthier than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's because, and there's nothing on the horizon that says it's getting better. Now, you're told to believe that a person involved in every form of immoral sexual deviance is a Christian, and that churches should embrace and ordain them as ministers. That's happening. You do know that's happening. God said that nothing about that is Christian, and that those things are to be ashamed of once you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, not modified to or tailored to or excused. But that's the day and age we live in. There's things, you know that verse, look at verse 20, okay? What else is mentioned here? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but works of the flesh start in verse 19. Verse 22, those are things you should be ashamed of, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So God says, if you belong to Jesus Christ, verses 19 to 21, the works of the flesh is no longer your life. Verses 22 to 25, this is your life now. This is your life. Those things in verses 19 to 21 started dying the day you got saved, and this is the fruit, verses 22 to 25, the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit that you're going to bear if you're saved. To some degree, some, wait, 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, but nobody none-fold, right? Go to Ephesians. We'll end with this. Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. This message is I want my life, if the Lord tarries and I die a natural death, I want my life to have counted for things eternal. You say, well, you're a pastor. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean it's naturally going to count. I'm a pastor that can sin. I just, somebody called 3 weeks ago, one of my friends, their wife left them. He's out of the pastor. He's no longer a pastor. 3 months ago, a pastor that I admired, never met him, but I admired him. He's out of the ministry. He's gone. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean what I do is right. I have to labor at doing right and following the Lord like you do. Amen. Like we all should be. I want God to bring forth fruit. And watch this. If I fight God, if I excuse myself, if I blame my sin on somebody else, I don't bear fruit. I want my life at the end of my life to count for things that were eternal. I want my life to bear fruit. I think it's a good, it's a holy thought. When I love the statement, when you're in that casket, your body is, and you're with the Lord, what do you want said at your funeral? What do you want them to say without making anything up? Then live that way. Amen. Then live that way. As a child of God, look at Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness. You used to be. This is talking about you when you were lost, you were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You say, what's that mean? Okay, the filth of our culture that we live in will always be wrong. And the Bible will always be right. There is nothing in the Bible that is progressive. This book is timeless. It never changed. If it was wrong at creation, it's wrong now. If God hated it back then, God still hates it. There's nothing progressive in the Bible. That was, I heard one person, you know, he was one TV interviewer, CBS, they were arguing with this man that called himself a pastor, it was Pierce Morgan. Pierce Morgan, what a nasty person. His transgression says within my heart, he no fear of God before his eyes. But anyways, I think most people know he's a filthy animal. But he was saying, how can you as a pastor of a church speak against homosexuals, because isn't God's word progressive? And I wanted to go, I just saw the little clip, I didn't watch the whole stupid thing, but I wanted to say, no, the Bible's not progressive. It's timeless. God hated it back then, God still hates it. God says, I change not. I change not. Watch this, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God says it's shame. There's some things, well, yeah, but that really took place. It's amazing. Ever since Bill Clinton pulled his stunt in the 90s with the filth that he was doing, the things that they report people doing now, I'm amazed I can say that on. Nobody had heard talk like that. I don't care if it was any, all of his deviance and then the rape. And then they went into the acts and things and description. Nobody had heard that on TV or radio. Now the things they talk about help us. Now we're in Pride Month, June. Pride Month. There's so much stuff on homosexuality. How dare they take God's sign of no judgment in Genesis, a rainbow, and turn it into their filthy symbol. It's a mockery, saying, ha, God judged then, but God's not going to judge us. Everything's in God's face. Everything in our society is against what God calls as right. There's some things that should be shameful to talk about, and God says it's a shame to even speak of those things. I'm almost done. No one saw the filth of our society coming. Remember the hippie movement? If you weren't born then, that's okay. But long hair started on men. And the preacher said, when long hair starts on men, homosexuality always follows. That's what they were preaching in the 60s. I was born in 65, okay? I got saved in 1986. But I heard what the preachers preached. These men with long hair, homosexuality follows. Guess what followed? Homosexuality. Then when the homosexuality followed, nobody saw transgenderism coming. AIDS came along, 80s. Nobody said, well, soon people are going to want to change their biological sex or whatever. Nobody saw that. You know what's being justified? Now we're knee-deep. Our government justifies it. Joe Biden just said last week, ugly parents shield their kids from transgenderism. It's ugly to do so. What a wicked thing to say. To me, you talk to a kid about sex, I think you ought to be stomped. Your face ought to be stomped with my boots. That's now justified. You know what's being justified next? Everybody knows what's on the burner. Pedophilia. It's fine. Nobody saw this coming. It can't get much worse. Here we are. Our society is bathed in it. God says it helps you to know you used to be in darkness. Now you're in light. This morning, enjoy the grace of God in your life and how He has given you a new life and the things God can use you to do now. And God says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You prove what's acceptable to the Lord by getting out of the darkness and showing you are ashamed of how you used to live. This is why being saved in the Bible is called conversion. In Acts chapter 15, verse 3, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. This is why getting saved is called being born or birthed again, brought to life, John chapter 3. This is why salvation is called in Colossians 1, 13, translation from one language to another. Totally different salvation this morning. Colossians 1, 6, our verse started this way. Which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth in you also, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God. God says in, I'll close with this. God says we're to be fruitful in every good work. Our society is so weird. Way back when I was a kid, if you never met somebody, they weren't your friend, okay? Our friends were people we actually knew in the real world, okay? And people you spent time with, you had like interests, and you became friends, okay? And, you know, some people are sports people, some people are music people, some people are college people, some people are money people, etc. And a person wasn't known by who they said they were. They were identified by who they showed themselves to be and the crowd they ran with. Remember those 60% of Americans I said this morning by poll that say they're Christians? Where do they go to church? Church attendance is dropping in America, okay? I know I'm not supposed to say that in church, but that's just a statistic. Church attendance is dropping. It's not growing in America. Where do these Christians go to church then? Christians are supposed to spend time with other Christians, right? So they read 50 to 60 websites in a week and they never read their Bible? So what kind of a love for the Lord is that? People go on the internet now and brag about how they are Christian, that they drink alcohol, that they smoke marijuana because it's legal in Maryland, and they fornicate, and they're freed from Bible Christianity to do their own thing. That is opposite of what I read in the Bible. That's not a Christianity. They think they're Christian because someone liked them and follows them. Look at how many followers I have. Can I make an announcement this morning? You aren't a Christian because someone likes or follows you. You're a Christian because you follow Jesus and you're like Christ. That's a Christian. It's not what you call yourself. Salvation is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation is by grace through faith. And I just love this statement. For this morning, we looked at one verse, Colossians 1:6, and it says, from the day you got saved, God has been working in your life to bring forth fruit. Now, the only reason He hasn't is because you don't let Him. Amen? This morning, fruit's important to God. I want my life to count. I hope the message helps you. Let's pray. Father, please use